But a fundamental part of the American way is our system.
With your permission, we'd like to talk shop for just a moment. Radio Shop. Recently, one of the foremost publications in the broadcasting field polled five critics and editors the question, which radio network programs do you rate tops? When the answers from these five experts were tabulated, the final ratings were radio programs. Let's put it another way.
The Subgenius Hour of Swatch.
And now, listen in.
I was tired and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about a show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again.
And again, and again, and again.
This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right till I was cross-eyed. I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Now clear, clear, clear. Why? Or go online. That's KKK.com. Thank you very much.
Look what I found. Come here.
What is it?
It looks like a well.
Well, I think it's an air shaft, but undoubtedly it will lead us somewhere.
Probably to the...
Subgenius Hour of Swatch.
Well then, what are we waiting for?
Come on.
Right on a blackboard with your neck. That was the major problem with Mr. Tulip, he thought, as they made their way to the ground. It wasn't that he had a drugs habit. He wanted to have a drugs habit. What he had was a stupidity habit, which cut in whenever he found anything being sold in little bags. And this had resulted in Mr. Tulip seeking heaven in flour, salt, baking powder, and pickled beef sandwiches. In a street where furtive people were selling clang, slip, chop, rhino, skunk, triplin, floats, honk, double honk, gongers, and slack, Mr. Tulip had an unerring way of finding the man who was retailing curry powder at what worked out as $600 a pound. It was so embarrassing. Currently, he was experimenting with the whole range of recreational chemicals available to Ankh-Morpork's troll population, because at least when dealing with trolls, Mr. Tulip had a moderate chance of outsmarting somebody. In theory, slab and honk shouldn't have any effect on the human brain, apart from maybe dissolving it. Mr. Tulip was hanging in there. He'd tried normality once and hadn't liked it.
President Bush is
trapped inside a basement, looking a little dazed.
Only having sex with
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
A little more drilling
for immoral purposes.
Oh, I'm upset about it.
Having sex. President Bush is
100% fool.
He has botched the operation in Iraq.
We're really sorry.
Murder, rape.
Bush specified that he has seen firsthand the war on terror.
We're really sorry.
Rumsfeld said he intends to serve the president at his pleasure.
It would be like a merry-go-round.
First-degree murder charges are likely.
Good morning.
Apologize for lying about having sex standing up. It was all a lie.
Sexual relations with
Adwad
has his
Adwad
continue the lie.
Sexual abuse.
Sneezing and coughing.
I am
finding students on college campuses.
I am aware that police attempted to enter those rooms, and I am now about to leave this news conference to learn the whole story.
What's this thing all about?
I don't know.
Well, then why did...
I don't know, I guess.
How long you...
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. Where'd you...
Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio.
You notice that smell?
Yeah, I think I do.
I don't think that's any of your business.
Are you suggesting that prawns could travel by semaphore? Said the chief priest. I suppose you might be able to flick them from... I was endeavouring to point out the fact that information is also bought and sold, said Lord Vetinari. And also that what was once considered impossible is now quite easily achieved. Kings and lords come and go and leave nothing but statues in the desert, while a couple of young men tinkering in a workshop change the way the world works. He walked over to a table on which was spread out a map of the world. It was a workman's map. That is to say, it was a map used by someone who needed to refer to it a lot. It was covered with notes and markers. We've always looked beyond the walls for the invaders, he said. We always thought change would come from outside, usually on the point of a sword. And then we look around and find that it comes from the inside of the head of someone you wouldn't notice in the street. In certain circumstances, it may be convenient to remove the head, but there seem to be such a lot of them these days. He gestured towards the busy map. 1,000 years ago, we thought the world was a bowl, he said. 500 years ago, we knew it was a globe. Today, We know it is flat and round and carried through space on the back of a turtle. He turned and gave the High Priest another smile. Don't you wonder what shape it'll turn out to be tomorrow? But a family trait of all the Ridcullies was not to let go of a thread until you've unravelled the whole garment.
Besides, they had these little pincer things, you know, and would probably hang on like...
What do?
Prawns, they'd hang on to...
You are taking me rather too literally, Your Reverence, said Vetinari sharply.
Oh!
I was merely endeavouring to indicate that if we do not grab events by the collar, they will have us by the throat.
It'll end in trouble, my lord, said Ridcully.
He'd found it a good general comment in practically any debate. Besides, it was so often true. Lord Vetinari sighed. In my experience, practically everything does, he said. That is the nature of things. All we can do is sing as we go.
You better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day. It's a sign, there's no doubt, of the trouble that's about. So I say, my friends, you'd better start to pray. That with better men our way. You'd better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
Oh, yes, dear friend, and the judgment day is definitely on its way.
It's an old-fashioned radio devival.
An old-fashioned radio ministry, friends. We're live in the studio this year. Because Bob has blessed us.
Blessed us, friends.
And friends, you know, it's been all reruns for so long, but it's fresh and new now because Bob let us finish the book, the new Bobble, you might say. It's done, friends, the Bobbleographon.
Did you say the Bobble?
It's done?
It's done, Reverend Bleepo. Reverend Bleepo, it's done.
The Hour of Slack is going to bring you something new.
Hey, that sounds familiar. Say that again.
The Hour of Slack is going to bring you something new.
I could swear that that sounds familiar, like I've heard you somehow before say...
Say what? I'm not saying anything.
Hour...
of
no, no, you have to say the whole thing. Wait a minute. Take two.
That was me?
Yeah, take two.
Try. The Subgenius Hour of Slack.
Yes. And Reverend Bleepo Abernathy is in the studio, and a special guest star, Reverend Baz, otherwise famed for being one of the only girls on alt.slack.
Indeed. And rumored to be the actual daughter of the Reverend Bleepo Abernathy. Could it be true? The truth may or may not be revealed during this broadcast.
You mean those things reproduce?
What things reproduce?
Those subdemus things.
This is merely
this is a much older
those
one.
Reproduce? There's like...
Is that in the literature?
The first issuance you had was Barbara... What was her name again?
Billingsley.
Billingsley.
That didn't work out
as
at all.
As the beaver.
With the
career. And we had to reverse that whole thing and... And I had to go back in time, and then I was reborn in 1958.
Hey, there you go.
And then, and then my daughter was born in 1988, just to prove
is
that, could,
that so?
But yeah, but she wasn't Barbara Billingsley this time.
No, and that wasn't really my daughter. Barbara Billingsley was, let's just say, somebody else's daughter at some point in time. I'm not going to. Look, you told
she
us
was not Baz otherwise.
No,
who was
indeed.
In the studio? Say hello, Baz.
Hello.
Is it all right to ask how she feels about this abject finger pointing, the blame calling, the slandering? She's not.
I wouldn't
to
refer
this
to it as that. It's really.
Person.
It was all very scientific and done with great research and alacrity and.
And this was something we actually knew was going to happen back in 1964, I believe, when I was by a swimming pool in Tarrytown, New York.
I remember.
I recalled a dream that I had had the previous
what
evening.
What a dream it was.
Yes, yes. And we knew that the young people of today, then... then we knew that the young people of now, which is not the 20th century, but the 21st century, we would need 21st century subgenii to carry the word further, even before we even knew it existed.
But they're not the old people now. They're not currently the old people who are the young people now. These are the people of tomorrow. These are the people who, well,
these
they don't
are
exist
the
yet because...
tomorrow people!
Yes, because the young people of today are the old people of tomorrow. And we need old drooling subgeniuses around the year 2080.
Dick Cheney drools.
Yes, well, beyond Dick Cheney's drooling, it's important that the young people today be aware of other things. The great Dada tradition that is not a part of the tradition.
And not only the Dada, but the Bull Dada.
The Bull.
Now, you boys go ahead and stand closer together. Now, don't be
okay,
shy.
Right. Don't
come
be shy.
Come on now. You
I
saw Brokeback Mountain. Everything's cool.
Like this here.
Well,
I can feel his foot. It's all hairy. He's got a great hairy foot. I mean, for a man his size, it's huge, immense, and it's very fuzzy.
Well, it's legendary, actually, in these parts. But, you know, if they was part of the other one before that...
The legendary feet!
What's most important...
And hair!
Is that there's a new...
He is, yes.
There's a new tome that the Reverend Stang has completed.
Well, with the help of 640 artists. No, actually, there's 690 art pieces.
Art pieces.
Yes.
There were some blind artists was included
yes.
in your tome, wasn't
it? The subgenius artists are blind, and yet they draw the coolest pictures because Bob God's their hand!
And their actual blood is used in the printing
ink. I've got cramp from doing that.
Don't get the cramps. But their actual blood is used in the printing ink for these editions.
It's like Michael Tangelo. They're blind and they use your blood.
Some of it is turtle blood, as was demonstrated by Terry Pratchett in the previous lecture.
That's right. By the way, we should give credit there that those two things that sounded like British people reading were from the audio book of The Truth by Terry Pratchett, my short derper.
But I'm telling you, there's a reemergence, Reverend Stang. I'm sensing a reemergence amongst the people
out.
Of the world. I sense, you see, there have been all these false sightings. There have been things like the oblongs with the dad
without
the arms, who is clearly ripped off. I will say this without hesitation.
The Enzyte. The Enzyte. False smiling Bob.
What do you call those cartoons? The cartoons?
Yes. Princess Wee and I came up with
an acronym. These so-called cartoons that are totally torn the word of Bob asunder and then got it wrong. I'm sorry. Can I say that?
C-C-A-R-T-O. It's cartoons with two C's. It stands for Cable Comedies Adored Religiously by Timid Overweight older nerds. Praise
the writers of which
the
are
older
no
nerds.
Doubt, no doubt, those bastards. May I say bastards? Is
yes,
that okay?
You may. You may.
Those bastards are listening to us right now and making what we're saying into their next so-called adult cartoon.
Could I just say one thing also? Yes. I think this is way beyond plagiarism. I think what they're doing in connection with our government, releasing these statements in encrypted in different ways and reprinted and turned around, and the next thing you know, you've got millions of these people not only misinformed but as dangerous
as a loaded gun. They think it's a coded message that they're hearing in the cartoon. They watch the cartoon and they think, hey, there's the coded message just for me.
They're ready to act.
Yeah, but really all it makes them do is it makes them go out and buy more of that, Coca-Cola with the
coffee. Well, and now Charles...
What should they be buying? You know,
some hear the
October.
Message. Charles Manson heard the message in the pop media.
Yep.
And the truly attuned visionaries know that the voices on the TV and
are
the voices in the
them.
Are talking to them.
Yeah, this one's for you. Right that, there, yeah, that one right there.
They played that song at that exact time in order to clench for sure the message that you should take up that weapon and do that horrible deed.
You
that
know
was going through
who
your
we're
head.
Talking to, and that's you.
Yeah,
you know
you
we're talking to you.
Creep,
you've been waiting
psycho,
for this command.
Kook, a listener.
Yeah.
We love you, listeners.
Your aluminum foil hat won't protect you now.
Yeah,
will
aluminum foil hat. Yeah. Illuminati, you know.
Yeah, what he said. Yeah, now, me too.
Now that I'm firmly aligned with the Illuminati, I think it's important that the work from within begun, you know, in earnest back in 1953.
That's right.
Yeah.
The church started preaching in 1953.
Yeah, and I think it's time that this is when the very head of Dobbs itself will start to actually rip through screens and burn itself on screens, and people will have it on their HD TV screens that they paid $500.
I actually have a Windows screen that has a miraculous Dobbs head that appeared on it. It sort of in dust.
This is
and
the time I think
bug, dead well, bug parts.
Yeah. Well, see.
You think he thinks I'm kidding? I'm not making that up. I have a photograph.
There have been sightings, and there have been actual physical appurtenance appearances.
Dobbs, can I speak to Dobbs directly through this radio show for once?
He's speaking directly.
How could I stop
you?
Okay. All right. Look, Bob. You said it a long time ago. You said that it was going to take a whole lot longer than we ever imagined, and it was going to hurt a lot. And Bob, I just want you to know that you were right. That it's taken a really, really long time.
And it's very painful. Also.
And I guess we got a few more. We got like 7,000 more years or something.
A lot more lesions.
Or 6,000 and change until 86, 80, 86, 61.
Well, now that's just one theory. X Day could be tomorrow, my friend. X Day could be any moment. X Day could be awaiting us as soon as we leave this radio station. X Day, friend.
Well, look over that cloud.
Could be inside
X Day's waiting for us.
Have you been checking for X Day on the roof of your mouth? You may find Bob there. X Day could be tomorrow morning on your way to work. Your car could be unmanned. You could be unmanned even if you're not in a car, even if you're not a man.
Some people have DNA that's self-scarifying. You wake up in the morning and your mouth is a vessel of lies.
It all depends on whether you've paid your dues unto Bob. And we can't go into that in too much detail on this public-supported radio station, friends.
No,
because that would
not.
Be doing the public too much good to save
no,
your
you can't
soul.
Do the public any
or what
good.
You think of
Vanderbilt
as a soul.
And Bob
no, those who do the public,
public
good well, we know what to do with them. Those who actually accomplish something that's positive, well, we don't want them to stick around too long. Or if they do, well, we're going to make sure they have so much money and so many drugs that they're hopelessly inebriated to the point where they can't spread their message any further.
We have a list. We're just going down, checking one off. One
like Santa Claus would. We look at each
yes,
name
much
once
much like
twice.
Santa, like the anti-Santa Claus, you might say.
Anti-Claus, yes?
Yes, Bob taketh away, and Bob taketh away.
Yes.
Now, I just came across something in the galleys for the new book, Stang.
Yes, we have brought the
home-printed
copy of the new Subgenius book. It's the only copy.
It's pretty overwhelming.
Oh, my God.
There's things here that no one has ever seen. Let's see. Okay. First of all, I never knew about his utility belt. Dobbs's utility belt?
Yeah, I did. There's a lot of unusual stories about Bob's life.
All right.
Possibly apocryphal.
Baz, could you just read
that
for
one's
the listeners?
For real.
Could you please read for the listeners here what the contents of Bob's utility belt are, please?
First, a combination atomic bomb / blowgun clipped to his belt.
Okay.
A gun that shot tiny knives.
Okay.
A sword that was both a flamethrower and a mace dispenser.
Right.
An ICBM that released 5 million rubber-tipped darts.
Wow, 5 million, friends.
5 million.
5 million.
A bomb that ejected thousands of those snake springs they put in gag candy canisters.
This is in 1953 he had this.
High technology. And poot bombs.
Yes, and now we don't even need that. First of all, friends.
Oh, we always need poot bombs.
I think we can talk about this now. You told me not to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this, Stang. It's about the light. Okay. Now, many people have talked about how, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, well, you know, and in the Scientology church, at the very, very highest levels, there's this whole thing about the Thetans and all that, and we're not supposed to talk about that either because they get upset. At least reportedly. This is what I've heard. Not going to say that the Scientologists actually do this. I just heard a story that they did.
Alleged this. Yeah, I've heard that similar kind of story.
Thetans.
You know, but what actually happens is beyond FROP, at the very, very highest levels of subgenius
slack awareness
is the actual ability
Well, first you start out smoking light. Light itself, you learn how to smoke it, and then it gets to the point where you don't even have to smoke it anymore. You just look at a light, even a light in the sky,
and you get off.
And you get off.
You're there.
You're there.
As that's why
you're
Bob there. Says, "Give me a light."
Is that okay? Did I tell Bob that?
Now? That's some of the new revelations that are included in this book. These are the ones that happen to be included with the between the lines.
Really, I thought I just made that up.
You mean there are actually people? Okay. Or some
well, the book changes from moment to moment.
That's exactly. I got that from glancing through the book. I figured that out.
But they look at light and become not only inebriated, but
they smoke light.
They smoke the light.
Once you've learned how it feels to use light that way, then you can do it simply by looking at it. Just the smell of light will be enough to get you off.
Exactly. Well, that's the third nostril.
Certain types of light.
Just saying the word light. See, it happened to him. Yep.
Well, I've started young.
Wow. See, I think Stang's in on it. He always pretends he's not in on it.
That's what they call them.
Photon huffers.
For so long.
I think he hangs out with the really upper echelons. I really do.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Look at the. He's always saying, "Oh, I'm just a scribe."
Look at the alien vertebrae behind there. But look at the other side of his chair.
What do you think we do at the Bohemian Grove? We don't drink. No, we light up. We light. We you know when
it's better than Batman. It's better than Batman.
Take that the phrase. Hey, lighten up, man. We literally our bodies become suffused with light energy, empowered as we are by Satan, the god of all evil and darkness. Yes,
you didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until this kook on the internet informed us that we were all Satanists. Not only that, get this. We're Satanists, and we're Freemasons, and we're Jews, and we're gay.
Right? Well, that explains everything.
So
that just brings us all around, and then we're white again, and then we're everything, is really what it is.
Well, that's kind of what it is. It's when you're that many things.
I know for a fact that we're also straight.
It all blurs together, and it's like Bob is the combination of all good and all bad.
Because
we're also, as we know, saints, we are popes, we are martyrs, we are visionaries.
Have you cleared this with the Unitarians?
We are small.
I don't know.
We are epoptics in our own small way. We cannot be Bob.
Right.
We cannot even be like Bob, but we can follow in the wake of his luck plane as he churns through the oceans of the great score of all the Akashic records. We can kind of surf behind
it. Yeah, in fact, J.R. Bob Dobbs, it says here, puts the in dir. The scent in incentive, the dick in ridiculous, and the pipe in your mouth.
He puts that pipe in your mouth, friends, but you don't ask what Bob's smoking in that pipe. What he's smoking is you. You dive into that pipe yourself. You let Bob smoke you because that pipe is not, it doesn't represent drugs. It's not symbolic of marijuana. That pipe is a tunnel of knowledge. It is the path directly to Bob's lungs.
See, it's been a while
and from thence to his very brain, my friend. You can be the thought in Bob's foul, foul, wet dreams. If you jump in that pipe and let him smoke you raw,
and
baby.
Then did they come to him awash in spirits, falling and stumbling and calling out his name. But he walked on from them until he came unto Wanda, and did know her a while, biding his time unto the return of his disciplinarians, who were of a goodly number thereto. Conniptions 1:23.
That was St. Carey Thornley who wrote that, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a Thornley quote. Reverend Jesse Sump was his subgenius name.
Wow.
Now, Carey Thornley, who is one of the co-sub-founders of the Discordian tribe,
yes, indeed.
to which we owe quite... Well, I'm not sure what.
Did they still have that altar? The Subgenius altar? They stole the altar in Chicago in like 82? Or did they give that back to you?
Oh, you're thinking we had a curse that we got it all back.
Oh, yes. Okay, you got that back.
Let me put it this way. Their houses burned down. We got what we needed. You don't mess with Bob, my friend!
Good. Oh, I feel so relaxed.
I think
now.
Bob just messed in the room.
I
feel
is
that
it.
What that smell
oh,
is?
Okay. That explains a lot.
Bob.
Huh?
Well?
Let me tell you something, mister.
Where's there a place for science in a town where they bury a
Bob
head by the light of the moon to get rid of
Bob?
Yes. Let me tell you something, mister. He tells the citizens how to think.
I know.
That's what I like.
You deserve it.
He's a magician.
You dirty lying cheat.
It's called
Bob.
If you want to investigate it.
Oh.
You're crazy.
I had the soil analyzed.
No, Bob, you're getting to be a pretty big fella. You ought to know the medical terms for certain parts of the body. To begin with, penis.
Yeah. Come on in.
You know, your mother would give me the devil if she were home and saw me with you this
way. Yeah.
Yes, sir, maybe. Well, maybe this is a good idea.
Bob! Oh, here's a match. Your pipe's gone out again.
Well, thanks.
Watch it!
Well, Bob, I guess that didn't make too much sense.
Golly,
you'll like the delicious, meaty flavor of Spam, the way it satisfies husky appetites.
Ours is a great heritage, a land of freedom, and out of our way of life come strange success stories. And this is the way the story goes. It all began some years ago when a kid was growing up in a small Midwestern town. It seemed that no matter what he wanted to do, there was always a grinning Japanese policeman to tell him, "Oh, so sorry, no can do." And with one punch, he knocked the grinning Jap policeman down in hopes of pocketing a few dollars. And he liked it so much that he decided to study with his fists.
Almost all of continental Europe uses the metric system, including, of course, the Dutch.
Well, this book itself is for the more advanced, isn't it? Wouldn't you say, at least in hirsutism, or perhaps...
It's for the swinging subgeniuses, the party subgeniuses.
Oh, I see. But I can see that.
The ones who want to live it up,
page,
baby.
There's a little bit of fun
Swangers.
Going on. It's a little bit dark, I would say, though. I mean,
those who want to grip scary, life by the lapels and swing around with it, dancing in the square, in the public square, jumping up and down in glory and slackness, with their pants off, with no one caring, and no one may gainsay them.
Hey,
because they have achieved Dobbstown, my friend. You can be in Dobbstown in your own mind.
I love any of this
before reading the new book, I have to say. Now, the ladies have something to share with us.
Oh, no, huh?
Yes. This concerns the Gospel of Connie and new revelations. This is unlike the Da Vinci Code with all its false stories.
Oh.
Of this is the truth, friends.
The true revelations. Without, you cannot forget Connie. Without Connie, there would be no Bob. But without Bob, there'd be no church. Connie said it. Bob yes-deared it. That settles it.
Wow. See, we never knew any of this before. This is all new.
I can actually feel certain parts of my pineal apparatus expanding. That's right between your eyeballs and up, you know, by your nostrils.
This was the other level they promised us back in 1982.
Well, it wasn't much of a promise. You're all a bunch of damned liars. But it is great that it is coming true.
Yeah.
I don't think they had anything to do with it. They were just writing it down and hoping. You know what I'm saying?
Remember they said, be here now? This is here.
Yeah.
And this is now. This is what he was talking about all that time.
How do you make the desk do that?
I don't know. It really rings.
How long you been in Dobbstown, buddy boy?
Well,
I know something some music that would much more appropriate that would go with that.
But Dobbstown is relaxed and sort of laid back with the nice Mexican trumpets there. Why not?
Werb Halperts, and everybody has their all needs attended to. There's really no problems.
The towels
to
are
speak
always
of.
Hot.
The towels are always hot, and
it's kind of expensive.
Well, it's
pricey.
Everything.
I mean, especially with fake money, what difference does it make? We all get Bob money. So,
I hear the water
is
more expensive than the gas, just like it's going to be down south.
Well, they have to superheat
it
because
run out
of
all the water there in Las Vegas and everything.
They have to superheat the water.
The water is going to actually be more expensive than the gas.
In Dobbstown, they give you two livers so you can drink from the fountains of rum all day long and never feel a bad effect. There's rivers of vodka that run through Dobbstown.
There's streets paved with chocolate, that pot of gold chocolate.
They give you an operation that gives you a nylon esophagus that never wears out.
They give you the diverter whereby you can eat and eat and eat and just shuffle it off into a little sack on your
strap. Oh, like in the Gumby
cartoon.
You can name how many proboscises you want. Like, say you want, like, five noses or something like that, so you can take on all the aromatics going on at all times. Some of them are subliminal, you know?
In Dunstown, you can have everything!
But you can also have Connie. That's what I like.
Everything
as
plus
many
Connie.
Times and as often as you can have her.
Yes.
In fact, the problem becomes escaping from Connie after a while.
Yeah, but they had quite an affair, Bob and Connie. You have to admit. I mean, there's revelations about their affair, you know, and the Emerald Seduction, the tale of a great
Oh no,
love.
Actually, that's from a novel that's really fictionalized.
Oh,
yeah,
it's not true.
No, well, no, it's apocryphal. Let me put it that way.
Was it a novel written by Dobbs himself, or is it, so?
We're not sure. It almost seems machine written, but it's from the 40s. That's the weird thing about it.
Well, you got to remember the mimeograph machine, and what was IBM and Farben and Germany's Hitler and all those guys, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Bob had access to all of that.
Yeah.
Yes,
the
Bob
of the time.
Bob worked for the conspiracy. He's not proud of that.
And sometimes in Dobbstown, there's three droogies named Alex and what's the...
I have to say something about the young people, about the droogies, about the young sub-genii coming up now. And I certainly hope that Baz can help bring them into the forefront here, because we're going to need them to take over. We had a sign today, as far as I'm concerned. Baz graduated her earthly high school today.
Praise Baz!
And all through the ceremony, this is a true story now. This actually did happen today. The skies were dark and thundery. You heard rumble as they're like saying, "Oh, if we always come back forever, then everything will be wonderful." And you know whatever this they say in graduation ceremony exercises, and the children of today are tomorrow's future. You know all that stuff that they say, which is the same thing we say, but. But, you know, in a more pedestrian fashion, let's say. Anyway, all through the ceremony, and the children are sort of looking nervously at the sky. And well, they're not children, actually. They're high schoolers. They're 18 around. And what happened was they were thinking that it was going to rain all through the time. And the moment that Baz's diploma was handed to her, the clouds parted. The sun came out. And the water, the little puddles dried up, and the worms retreated back into their holes. And
it's
the
like
sun,
the miracle of Fatima.
It was. And
only
that's
a UFO's appearance could explain such
that's
a miracle.
That's when I knew that the young people, the young sub-genies, I should say the young mutants.
Butants, we prefer to
be called. Beautiful young mutants will indeed take over.
This is a sign from Bob.
Yes.
I'm not
glad you know that.
Most of the other students are going to some earthbound university. I am headed for Dobbstown University.
Gee.
That's where I got my doctorate of divinity. People come to me every now and then, they go, "Mr. Stang," as if, "Oh, I know you're not really a reverend." I'm sorry, if you're going to call me Mr., it's going to be Mr. Smith.
Many but don't know I'm you're not really
friend,
a person.
I did not go to Dobbstown Divinity School for 6 months for nothing. I earned that reverendship, ministership, fair and square. Reverend Baz otherwise she's a $30 subgenius minister. She's going to be on board the saucers, whether she wants to be or not, when they finally come.
Thank Bob for that.
Is this the Elvis Costello show?
Yes. Yeah, is this the Elvis Presley version of a Miracle Man?
No, it's not. That's not
it.
You're singing, Stang, Reverend Stang.
Yeah.
You're singing to yourself in the middle of the show.
I swore I wouldn't.
We were
discussing your book. Could you?
I swore I would not do that.
It's all right. It's all right. The keyboard
I will sing no more forever.
The keyboard player for that band. Well, the Attractions. Steve Naive. Wasn't he a card-carrying member?
He was a woman at one time. He was a Swedish
woman. She was described in People magazine reading a copy of Book of the Subgenius. But we don't know whether Steve Naive really liked it or not.
Oh,
we only know that it was reading it.
It was reading it. Okay.
The blonde Ingeborg look is easy.
Oh, is she doing the whole... Wendy Carlos thing?
No, he's just doing the whole.
Just kind of like a Wendy, or no, like an Ingeborg.
No, we're making Swedish, that up. You know, it's not, that, don't spread that news around New York City, Bleepo.
Well, if you spread it in New York City, it would automatically be assumed to be true, and it isn't.
Well, you know, the conspiracy is no fool. I mean, it recognizes and rightfully fears the vast untapped power that lurks within the potential uber femme. That is why, from
heard
the very
the
moment a she-child emerges from the birth canal, so much time and energy is spent on diverting the larval uber femme from recognizing and embracing her true identity and her destiny.
The Connieites of Dobbstown are heard in the background.
Yeah, this is Nancy Regalia's work that you will be able to see.
This is Nancy singing, in fact.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, you know, the first thing they do is they try to force an unconscious identification with the color pink onto these helpless infants, these poor mutant girls, butants. From the moment they're squirted into this planet of clocks, they are swaddled in pink blankets, dressed in frilly pink party dresses, and given pink diabetes-inducing big-eyed stuffed animals to play with.
Sad.
The unavoidable equation is written on their delicate brain tissue.
Solely yellow.
Yes, see? And even Baz.
My mom was a weirdo.
When Baz was a tiny child, she rejected the pink. We knew.
Really?
Yes, she did.
I remember.
That's
when
not very girlish.
When they drove you guys out of Dobbstown, she was crying, but you bundled her up in your schnapps and whatever they call that thing, and she was brave, like a true warrior princess. You forgot.
Yep, and when she cried, it was only for joy. And the unavoidable equation written on their delicate brain tissue before they're even learned. This is how cruel they are to the butants.
Yes.
Before they're even
it's
learned how
like
to speak, pink
years.
Equals girl, girl equals pink. This is false, isn't it, Baz?
Completely.
Doesn't that just cheese you off? That they tried to force this pink on you?
I've been anti-pink since 4 years old.
Yes.
Since I can remember.
Yes, and that's true, friends. I don't think she has a pink item in her wardrobe.
She just has a natural aversion to pink, then.
Yep. I think even once we ran out of socks, we had to, like, buy pink socks, and she immediately dyed them black.
I was barefoot.
Yes.
Well, now, you know, the term pink boy, used as a derogatory term for humans, does not refer to their color so much as the color of their soul.
Yes. Well, that's the whole thing. They've tried to inject this pink even into boys.
Oh, well, it's just the entire culture is permeated with the most vomitingly mediocre pinkfulness.
We went to the Target store in our neighborhood. They had a special sale this winter on polar fleece blankets for like $9, these enormous...
You were being fleeced.
15-foot by 15-foot blankets. But, of course, by the time the sub-geniuses got there, after... You know, 6 in the morning when all the normals were there. But when we got there at regular old, good old sub-genius time after having a, you know, a coffee.
Well, three, but for a few minutes before
the
midnight.
The only blankets they would give us were pink.
An incense.
Bright, bright pink. This is in the coldest of winter.
Sub-genius, take these blankets.
Well, luckily, we were able to take the blankets home and run them through our Alhim's little remogrifier, and everything's fine now. We're not worried anymore. The pink has been rendered completely obtuse.
Sterilized of pinkness.
Removed. Well, not so much
eliminated.
Removed as made safe.
Pinkness scorched. Is what makes white bread white, you might say.
Yes.
It's what makes SUVs...
attractive to the normals, yes.
Yes, but unseemly. Mm-hmm. Although, if you have to haul a thousand kids around, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes, well, of course, or like big planks of wood or whatever, if you're actually using... But no, driving around by yourself all high up on the little marshmallow hand seat, because it is... If you ever drove in like a Cadillac Escalade...
I've never driven one.
No,
we
couldn't
or ridden in
them.
One.
We
it's like you're in a giant marshmallow hand,
that
way above every pedestrian and other car. And the marshmallow hand carries you wherever you want to go. All you have to do is aim it, and you never want to leave the marshmallow hand.
Life in the marshmallow hand.
It's always perfect inside.
It
this
makes a two-hour commute. More fun than your life at home or on the job.
So cushy.
But it actually ends up making you more pink. Unless, of course, it's run by vegetable oil.
but they don't have those yet.
And it makes your bottom more cushy, too.
Yes, yes.
Think of personally, I believe that every man should have
pink slippers.
Men, anyway, should have the right to drive anything they want, including military vehicles,
oh,
armies,
yes. I'm not
tanks,
saying that, that,
with
know,
any sort
the
of weapon
vehicles
on
are
that.
Bad.
See, we're against any kind of regulation as being itself pink.
Well, now,
and therefore,
Stang,
technically, if you really did want to burn up all the gas in the world and pollute everything, then go for it, man. It's not going to be around that much longer. They're turning this planet back into Mars anyway.
Well, so hence the pinkness coming out, at
right,
least in the psychic coloring of it. And why will they have to paint
the
all these army trucks and
the true Martian,
and
the true Martian
of death
is
pink?
Right, exactly.
Why?
Because of the conspiracy.
Of course.
Because the true Martian is the red man. But the
no,
then there is this
down,
watered
add,
down pinkness
yep, yep,
that has permeated our world, our land.
Well, some say it's just
and not just our
fluid
land,
of
this
a
whole
retarded
planet.
God. The amniotic brain fluids of a retarded god.
Wait a second.
Which
now.
It could be.
Does that mean that pink is just really watered down red, meaning the commies are in charge?
No. It's not political about that. Sensenheimer.
Okay. I was reading some.
The commies did take over disguised as rich Republican industrialists disguised as Christians.
That was Charlie McCarthyism.
Yeah, yes. Right.
You had little short yeah. legs that
puppets,
made of wood.
Really.
Yeah, but we're all puppets, friends. Now, some puppets get to manipulate other puppets. Are you pulling anybody's strings, sir, ma'am, brother, sister?
Think Mermaids. About it. You.
But somebody's sure pulling yours.
We're talking to you.
That means you're the lowest down on the line of puppets. It's puppets as far up as you can see.
Yep, we're talking to you.
At the top, there's some rich men, but they're not really the top. There's aliens manipulating them as puppets, and those aliens are being manipulated by Jehovah One.
Oh, look,
who
one's
knows,
in a bear
and
suit.
Who knows who's throwing food into Jehovah One's fish tank? Who owns the universal fish tank and feeds the gods like we would feed our fish, and the gods don't even know that they're
who is that
nothing
guy?
But fish in somebody else's tank.
Issuant of those gods, I think.
There's just no end to the hierarchy, except that we're at the bottom, so there is an end on this end.
Maybe
we are
the
end of
the
chain.
The top.
Say it again, Bears. What's that?
Maybe the bottom controls the top in an endless loop.
As below, so below.
The Butans are too damned smart.
Well, we would hope. That would be a nice conceit. That somehow it comes full circle. But you'd have to ask the zebra while he's being consumed by the lion if the circle of life really is all that fair.
They left that part out of that.
Yeah,
nice
they leave a lot out
in the
nice version of the circle of life.
In the nice version, it's not a circle jerk at all. It's an actual ongoing, thought-provoking, well-informed plan for the future. But for those left behind, it's what I just said, a circle jerk.
Yeah.
It's futile. It's just futile. It's futile. There's no way out. There's no real... There's no way out except for... There's no way out.
Well, there is. There is a way out. There are several ways out. For one thing, I'm sure that after 10 or 12 million years, intelligent life on Earth may become peaceful and slackful on its own. Then there's the X-Day question. Elements from outside coming in to take over their property.
Yeah, man, what about X-Day?
Right.
To live in their skins, to take their shoes and their bowling
and
balls.
And, of course, you can always just disappear into your own little world, your little hobby or your special diet, and hide from all the rest, your little special favorite shows or your favorite websites, and just ignore that terrible world around you. Eventually, you could be a brain in a jar, hallucinating your whole life, and what would be the difference?
3,000.
Just insulate yourself away.
So long as I have this book, I'll be okay.
Well, as Joe Cosby said in that book, I like to think that if I was hallucinating my whole life inside of a jar, I'd hallucinate something where I got laid more often.
So would he have got laid more often had he been hallucinating in a jar and reading Bob Lee Garfon?
Probably not. No, he'd have nightmares because there's so many cool monster pictures.
Well,
in
some
there.
Of these nightmares.
There is some. There are some sexy pictures. The Connie section is
sexy
real
nightmares.
Sexy, and the frop section, of course, is probably adults only. But then a lot of it is kind of scary. It'd be a good one to color. I wish that they would sell it with crayons, so that you know you could people
well,
who couldn't
pencils.
Read
Reverend
with
Reverend
color
Stang,
or you could change sharpies. It with your
thumb right now, a page color is shouting sharpies. At me. Yeah. Could you kill the music 1 second, please? Shut up, Pink Boy. Stop right now. Too many would-be zealots are still laboring under the impression that this is some kind of parody of kook religions. While perhaps having properly grasped the full implications of the faith in Bob, some are yet prey to all manner of misconceptions about other basic subgenius doctrine. We're talking basic here. For instance, an otherwise ascended subgenius may understand the serious nature of, say, excrementation, yet still think that the concept of accubating is still simply a joke thrown into confused conspiracy censors. And there is no estimating how many rogue subgeniuses still do not believe in Bob at all.
That is an announcement.
I just had to
apostrophe.
I think I wrote that part myself about 25 years ago.
And
but it still rings
said
true.
On the radio before.
It still rings true.
Or maybe it has.
I think
well,
so.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Long ago.
That describes
it. I was a little older than Maz is, but not much.
Wow. Okay, it was never said by me on the radio then.
I've been following Dobbs for, gosh, would it be more than, now more than half my life.
Following with a butterfly net.
Now, but then think of my kids. They've been following Bob their entire lives.
Yep, mine too.
They didn't want to be.
Yep.
But
yeah,
they couldn't help kids. It. You know, it's just they're always in front of them. Wherever they think they're choosing to go, he always happens to be right in front.
Yep. Yep.
Irritating. Imagine how I feel.
Frustrating as well.
I've had my boss's face is in front of me all the time, even at night when I close my eyes.
Then
that Dobbs head glowing and smiling, grinning.
And your nose in his butt at all times. Now, that is really horrifying.
Well, look, if I want to get that raise, I'm going to have to, you know, do what it takes.
You get
well,
a raise out
I,
of
I
that?
I think, you know, the Reverend okay, Baz represents your retirement plan.
Right, right. You know? My nose in Bob's deep, but kissing
deep
Bob's
hole.
Never
deep.
End
and luckily,
is my retirement plan.
And the children will be able deep. To take over and make everything right and fix all the problems. Thank goodness.
The problems are created.
That's what, you know, when I remember, Baz, when I was your age, I thought to myself, God, that older generation, they're so wasteful. They've just wrecked the world for us. There were twice as many of us, that generation, who actually proceeded to go ahead and wreck it even further. We knew better, and yet we went ahead and wrecked on anyway. Well, we recycled a few bottles and... You know, we let it mellow, but
we let it age like a
we
Chinese drool cup. We allowed it to.
But we still drove to work. We sinned. We sinned against slack.
Well, we had to. I mean, the car was. You know, the bus wasn't working that night. And,
and now your generation's going to have to diaper us. And I'm sorry. I'm saying it now before the Alzheimer's sets in.
If they could only diaper us with slack.
But they're going to get it right, see? That's what the sky
yeah,
meant.
See, one of these days, these kids are going to get it right.
When I saw the sky.
Right, see?
You know,
I can see it. It's on the horizon right now. I have thousands of millions of these kids, and they're
they
all...
They will hallucinate life where they get laid more. Well,
and other things.
In that jar. My worry is that so many of the youth seem to truly be living in the Matrix and liking it. I mean, the television shows are more real to some of these subgeniuses than their own lives are. That scares me.
But yes.
Everybody knows what's really real is sci-fi novels.
Well, the subgenius, you can spot the subgenius kids because they're the ones reading books.
Books?
Books.
Or at least staring vacantly at them because of the subliminal
and
messages.
Also, you know, doing internet stuff or whatever. But I've spotted them. They read books. Science fiction books and other books and philosophy and all kinds of.
Oh God!
I mean, voluntarily,
poor
not
things.
Just the ones, not just the ones you know from
don't
school.
Want people to argue
all kinds
with
of things.
Bob,
the Weekly World News, but they read. They actually. Read
on the other hand,
words.
Look what reading did to us.
It made us do this radio show.
We just produced this
on the
book.
Brain.
Yeah.
Hey, down at the back of that book, there's a picture of this room with Dave in it and Paul Krasner, I think. And there's also a lovely photograph of Dr. Philo Drummond with a microphone in his ear.
Yes, right.
Is that his ear?
Yeah, that's the room. There's a picture of the room we are in.
You will actually see that picture.
If you buy this book when it comes out in October or so, you will actually see pictures of the inside of your radio right now. I can't believe it.
With Lonesome Cow's cluttered looking, isn't it?
The little men inside the radio are finally, after what? The radio first emerged in around 1912, 1915 as a public thing.
Man in the box, so let me.
Finally, you can see the little man inside.
Revealed.
And they look just like Reverend Stang.
For you.
And Philo Drummond and Cowboy Dave and Paul Krasner.
Yeah, Paul Krasner, of course, is on the Subgenius shows every other week.
Can we mention that the art in this book is so exciting that I've already had a pre-ejaculatory state three times in a row now, and I'm convinced otherwise?
You actually see puzzling evidence. You actually see Dr. Gary Gabrogfran. You actually see Dr. Hal Robbins for the first time ever. Well, no.
Yeah. Actually, that's them about 25 years ago. Handsome, well, weren't they?
Yep.
You'd never think
so
it to look at them now.
Yes, put faces on those voices you've heard so long.
Yes.
Some of us subgeniuses have known each other for a long time. I believe, Bleepo, that you and I met in the early 80s, 81
or Chicago. So. I first talked to you when I saw the Weirdo magazine article about the subgeniuses written by Jay Kinney, I think it was.
Jay Kinney wrote the one in Whole Earth Review, and Robert Crumb reprinted the subgenius pamphlets in the first issue of Weirdo.
Oh, maybe that was it.
And that was how the comic book readers came unto Bob.
And then I wrote to you,
80s.
I was working in a Boston radio station, and I wrote to you because I was in the news department, supposed to put together a little, like, you know, intern.
That's right. You were going to cover
reports.
A sci-fi convention that was next door.
And I asked you if you subgenius guys did radio, sort of like because I saw that you did, like, print stuff really well. And I figured you probably did collage. But I didn't know you were that same. Never mind. I won't go into that. But anyway, so I asked you if you did radio, and you said, sure, we do radio. And that's how you talk.
Put
then.
Your hands on the radio.
And so I did a phone interview with you, and then you invited me to see you in Chicago. So I used the science fiction convention as an excuse to actually go see you. I was much more interested in going to see you, and I think I got the radio station to somehow kick in a nickel or two to send me there and back. And then I met you and all those mutants.
There were a lot of strange mutants.
Philo was there, and of course the great Janor Hyperkleets.
That's right, Janor. That's where the classic line came from.
They told me my mind was in this jar, and then they poured it down the sink.
Yeah,
and that's been
that's how the church works, man.
Ever since,
at its best.
Yeah,
actually, and then others who became rich and famous.
Strangely content.
Sterno is rich and famous.
But still a zombie, though, isn't that correct? I mean,
as far
as the blood thing.
Yeah, shuffling and walking and
I'm now
the
least known famous person in New York City.
You are now currently?
Yeah. Currently.
Do they honor you in any way? I remember at
Brooklyn,
they're going to have a celebration, or they said they would put two bullets between your breasts if they had any or something.
Something like that,
and then elected you the new...
Yeah.
That's all right. This will be a long one.
That's what
we started a couple of minutes early.
Sorry,
actually. So it is a long one. Oh man.
Well, at least we've taken on most of the salugubrious and salient parts of this this epic novel. It's not really a novel per se.
No, actually, we didn't even get into the heavy stuff. The first half of it is Bob and Connie. You know, everybody loves those two great
gods. Oh, that show of theirs.
But then there are two chapters about the conspiracy and how to deal with it. And then there's an explanation of X Day and what really happened, with naked pictures of me, by the way, back when I was sort of slim. And
can you explain what's funny about each and every one of those
pictures?
Yes,
I can, actually. Okay.
On
the stand. I could do it on the stand. Okay. I could do it to Judge Punch or Judge Judy or any of those puppets. And then it becomes even more serious because it tackles the subject of true slack and subicide, the urge of so many lonely subgeniuses to jump off a bridge or off of a an overpass into an oncoming car while wearing a daub shirt and videotaping.
No.
But we don't encourage that. And in fact, there's a whole quite touching chapter that will touch you there about why you really should leave it up to Bob. He's going to do it anyway. He's going to kill you anyway. So let the professionals do it. You're an amateur at suicide by definition. There are no professionals at it except Bob. What? And he's going to, him or God, are going to get you in the end. So what's your hurry? That's our point. You don't know what's going to happen. If you're depressed, you think it's always going to be terrible, but you're crazy. You're wrong. You don't know. You might be sane tomorrow and everything will be cool.
And you get to exercise, as it says here in the book, from the 1959 Bobco board meeting, Bob will ask you to exercise glands you never knew existed.
That's right.
Now, do you have to know them in any? Do you have to know these glands?
You'll learn those. You will intuit the existence of those new glands when you thumb through the book. Actually, if you notice, if you look at the animated right-hand page, have you noticed that there is a tiny Mutabob image on the left-hand corner of every spread, every single page in there, so that you can flip it like an animated flip-it book. Like a little movie. I don't know if anybody noticed that we did that on Book of the Subgenius as well, but this time...
If you do it fast enough, do you hear Walt Disney's voice?
Yeah, you will start to... It will make... there's all kinds of effects that happen. If you put it in front of a barcode reader and flip it, you get a little computer game. If you can load it into your
computer.
Just
a game you don't win any sort of credit.
It's real simple. It only runs on a VIC-20 or an Atari or something, but it's cool. It's like Pong.
And I've heard that if you actually... If you cut the book up and then arrange the little pictures in the right combination.
Well, let's not go into that on the radio.
Okay.
And it's unlikely that anybody's going to find the right combination.
Should we warn people? Or,
I hope
or
not.
Well, it's like casting a spell or a curse in some of the simple religions. You know, they.
We don't want to get them started on that, though. I mean,
did you see the skin crawl that ran under? There was some sort of skin crawl.
Oh, we found one of those in our bathroom today.
Oh, just yeah. One?
We think she brought it back from brushwood.
Skin crawlers, yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Because if she didn't bring it back from brushwood, she was at brushwood this weekend singing. And if she didn't bring that thing back, that means our house is infested with skin crawlers. Well, this was the kind with the flat tail. With the forks on the end, it's about 6 inches long.
With like a jillion legs.
Right.
Did you learn anything from it? I mean, for crying out loud, you at least interrogated it.
I didn't leave it in me long enough. If you leave them, you have to leave a menu for a while to learn it.
For them to tell you the secret.
And that's
you know, some people can get these things out of them without, you know. I'm sorry, I just.
I they give me the creeps. They make my skin crawl, you might say.
Yeah, but imagine attaching
to interject
a little
some humor into the proceedings.
There. Watching it jump, you know, or just poking it with the end of a match head.
Do you realize that because his soul is banned from both hell and heaven, Bob cannot die?
That's the reason.
I didn't know that. To this day, we constantly
actually, if you had read your Revelation X, you would know that.
Oh, I might.
That's
have read
a
that.
Repeat from old doctrine.
Just faithless.
Hey,
listen, the show's over.
We don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm going to put on this amazing pre-recorded material from, the Buchanan brothers were singing that Flying Saucer song, and they may continue that. These collages, of course, are by the great Fernand and Eddie Lee Murr. Oh, no, we're going to get into a section by Phineas Narco of National Cynical Radio, and I will, if nothing else, change the CD. Thank you.
Many people think the saucers might be someone's foolish dream, or maybe they were sent down here from Mars. If you just stop and think, you'd realize just what it means. They're more than atom bombs or falling stars. And though the war may be true, there's unrest and trouble brewing, and those flying saucers may be just a sign that if peace doesn't, it will be the end of some. So repent today, you're running out of time. When you see a saucer fly like a comet through the sky, you should realize the price you'll have to pay. You'd better pray to the Lord when you see those flying. flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
www.subgenius.com